Good morning. It is good to see everyone here today. It looks like we've got a good crowd, and for that, we are very thankful. If you're visiting, we hope that you'll stay around afterwards, that we can meet you and greet you. Of course, we've got Bible class immediately after the service, and then tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll continue our worship together. I did want to mention a couple of things before I get into the sermon. Number one, the Willett congregation is having a gospel meeting this week, and Brother Mike Hickson is going to be the speaker in that meeting. And so Sherry and I are planning to go tomorrow night, and some folks from Willow were discussing going. I thought it would be great if we could have a number from the congregation here at Willow go and support Willett. They came and supported our Seek Ye First event that we had at the beginning of the year and had a good number that came for that. And so if you're interested in going, you might say something to me, and we could maybe have a caravan over there tomorrow night, and that would be a great thing. I also wanted to say something about the kids that we had that participated in Lads to Leaders this weekend, because I saw some video clips from that, and it made me feel good to see Willow's banner there and to see the congregation represented, and the kids did a very good job with that, and appreciate to the parents and all of those that participated. Don't judge me. That's what she said to me. It was 1993. I was active duty Air Force. I was doing my best to be a faithful Christian, which incidentally will make you stand out in the workplace. And a coworker of mine came to me one day and she said, "Don, I know you're a Christian and I want to ask you a question." She said, "I'm living with my boyfriend," and they were engaging in some other things as well. And she said, "I want to know what you think about that." And I said, "Well, according to the Bible, it's not right." I said, "It is a sin. Sex before marriage is wrong. Living together is," and I didn't get very far. And she got very angry. And then she said it. She cut me off and she said, "You claim to be a Christian, and you are a hypocrite. The Bible says, judge not." Now, I know what you're thinking, because it's the same thing that I was thinking, and that is, but you ask me. You ask me what I thought, and then when I tried to tell you, well, we'll come back to that in just a minute. The verse that she had in mind was Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." I have oftentimes made the statement that this is the most well-known verse in the Bible by people who don't know the Bible. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, "Judge not." But did you know that the Bible does not say that we are not to judge? Now you might say, "Well, Don, you just read it. That's what Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 said." That's going to be our study this morning, and so I want you to get your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at this text together today, because this entire chapter is about judging. In fact, there are three different types of judging that I see in this chapter, and that's going to be the 3 points to the lesson today. Number one is what I've called bad judging. This is the type of judging that we are not supposed to do. Number two is what I'm calling good judging. This is the type of judging that we are supposed to, in fact, are commanded to engage in. And then number three, there is what I'm simply calling God's judging. And this is the type of judgment that we will all experience one day. All right, here's our first point today, and this is bad judging. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." This is the verse that most people know. This is the passage that non-Christians are referring to when they say judging homosexuality is sinful. For example, they say, "Judge not." Years ago, there was a well-known preacher by the name of Garland Elkins. Maybe some of you remember Brother Elkins. He was invited to be a guest on a national talk show called Phil Donahue, and maybe some of you remember Phil Donahue. It was one of the most popular talk shows in the nation at the time. But what had happened was, there was a congregation of the Lord's Church in Oklahoma, and the elders had withdrawn fellowship from one of their members because she was living in sin. They went to her. She would not repent. And following the example of the Bible, they marked her. They withdrew fellowship. Well, she turned around and sued the church. And so this went national. Phil Donahue asked if she would like to come on her show, come on his show and discuss this, and she agreed. And he asked if we could have a representative of the Lord's church to come on the show, and Brother Garland Elkins went on the show. And I remember, in fact, if you're curious, you can look it up on YouTube because that episode is still there. I watched it just recently. But it was interesting because as he was laying out what the Bible says, I remember that there was a lady who spoke up from the audience and she said what we're talking about this morning. You're a hypocrite because the Bible says, judge not. You see, that's the way people in the world understand this. They believe that this verse teaches that we're not to make any type of judgments about anyone ever. In fact, some individuals have had such a misunderstanding of this verse and the subject of judging that they have gone to some very strange extremes. Brother F. Lagarde Smith wrote a book entitled, Who is My Brother? And he said in that book, he was so opposed to judging others that he trembled at the very statement the Apostle Paul made in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, where he says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? You see, some people have gotten to the point that they are afraid to make any type of judgment. And that's not right. The Bible does not teach that all judging is wrong. In fact, anytime someone brings up Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 to me, and they say the Bible says not to judge, I refer them to John chapter 7 and verse 24. In fact, that'd be good to write in the margin of your Bible next to Matthew 7 and verse 1. Write John 7, 24, because there the Bible says, judge not according to appearance, but judge ye righteous judgment. You see, the Lord says not all judging is wrong. In fact, there is some type of judging that I should do, and as a matter of fact, I'm wrong if I don't do. But according to this passage, there is a bad type, there is a wrong type of judging. And so let's discuss this. Let's read it, and then we're going to have a discussion of it. Beginning in Matthew 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank, the beam that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank, a log is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, very clearly from this passage, there is a type of judging that is wrong. And so, what type of judging is wrong? I want to go through several examples of bad judging for the next couple of minutes. Number one, this passage condemns what we would call harsh judgments. When a person makes a harsh judgment, he is interpreting evidence in the worst possible light. I heard a story from years ago. It said that there was a little boy and his dog who had wandered away from home. Several hours later, the dog returned without the boy, and the dog was bloody. The distraught father thought the dog had turned savage and attacked his son, and so the father promptly, in a fit of rage, got his rifle and he shot the dog. Later, they found the boy unharmed and a dead panther nearby. The dog had actually protected the boy. Now, what had the father done? He had looked at this evidence that could have been interpreted positively. It could have been interpreted negatively, but he interpreted it negatively. Harsh judgment is a characteristic that is contrary to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says about love that it believes all things. Now, what does that mean? William Barclay's translation says, love's first instinct is to believe in people. One version indicates the idea of trust. You see, love takes the kindest view of man's actions. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. Love interprets things in the best possible light. Brother David Lipscomb wrote in his commentary that love believes all the good that it can of another as long as it is possible to do so without betraying the truth of God. Let me give you an example of a situation, and I want you to tell me how harsh judgment would interpret this and then how love would interpret this. I was talking to a preacher friend one day, and he told me that a lady had showed up to the church building. He said he was there alone. And this lady asked him, "Can you please give me a ride to the hospital?" And he said, "Sure, I will do that." And so they left her car there, and they rode together in his car to the hospital. They were gone for several hours. And he said he got to wondering and worrying, will someone wonder that she came into the building? The two of them were there alone, and then they left together for several hours and came back. Now, how would harsh judgment interpret that? Harsh judgment might say, "I bet that preacher's up to something." How would love interpret that? Love would probably say, "I know what kind of man he is. He probably took her to the hospital." Here's a second type of judgment that is condemned in Matthew chapter 7, and that is hasty judgment. Hasty judgment is judgment made before all the facts are gathered. I heard an old illustration about a traveler who was between flights at the airport. And she went into the waiting area, and she bought a small package of cookies. And she sat down, and she began looking at her iPhone. Gradually, she became aware of a rustling noise. She looked up, and she was shocked to see a man wearing a suit, and he was helping himself to her cookies. Not wanting to make a scene, she leaned over, and she took one of the cookies and ate it herself, as if to say, "Hey, those are my cookies." A minute or two passed, and she heard some more rustling. She looked up. The man was helping himself to another cookie. By this time, she had gotten very upset, and she took another cookie. It got to the very end of the package, and at that point, she couldn't even bring herself to say something, and she was absolutely shocked when the man pulled out the last cookie, broke it in half, and offered her half, and ate the other half himself. At that point, they called for her flight. She stood up. As she was walking away, she reached in her purse to get her ticket, and she found her unopened bag of cookies. And she realized she had been eating his cookies. Well, that's a hasty judgment. How many times can you think of examples in your own life where you have done that? You have jumped to conclusions and gone off half-cocked and thought the worst about a person. The passage I just cited to you a moment ago, John 7:24, said, "Judge not according to appearance." Why is that? Because things are not always the way they appear to be. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12, you remember that Samuel thought that Hannah was drunk. Why? He misinterpreted the evidence. It is easy sometimes for us to do that. Now, while I'm talking about hasty judgment, I ought to bring this up as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4, the King James describes something it calls evil surmising. Now, that's not a term we use much these days, but evil surmising means that you reach an evil conclusion about another person based on inadequate evidence. Evil surmising, that is exactly what we're talking about. Hasty judgment. It means you look at someone who might be involved in something poor or wrong, or it could be something that's fine, but you choose to interpret it in the worst possible light. Here's a third one that is condemned. I'm calling this hypercritical judgment. Now, with the person who judges you hypercritically, you don't stand a chance from the beginning. The hypercritical judge is going to nitpick until you are guilty. It made me think of something that took place several years ago. That is, there were some individuals, a homosexual movement in this country, who was upset with Chick-fil-A because they did not support homosexuality. And so they decided they were going to have Gay Day, and they were going to boycott Chick-fil-A. Do y'all remember that? Well, as a result of that, some people said, we are going to do the opposite, and we're going to support Chick-fil-A. And I remember I went to Chick-fil-A on that day. Our local Chick-fil-A had sold out of chicken. There was a line around the block to get into Chick-fil-A. And you say, well, that's good. People are supporting a good thing. But after that happened, I remember seeing someone write something on their blog or on Facebook, and it said something like this. They said, going and supporting Chick-fil-A, that is easy Christianity. They said you should do something harder, like conduct a Bible study, not just eat chicken. And I thought to myself, you know, many of us do conduct Bible studies. We do practice evangelism. But, you know, we're trying to support something good. But here's a person who is nitpicking everything. They are so hypercritical in their judgment. You know, it reminded me of Matthew chapter 26 about the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with the perfume. And then Judas spoke up and said, well, that perfume could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. And Jesus said, she has done a good work. And he says, yeah, but she could have done something better. And he said, don't condemn her. She has done something that is good. The Lord describes here what sometimes we call a mote hunter. That is a speck hunter. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3 says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and you don't consider the plank that is in your own eye? Some versions say the log. Think of the picture the Lord is painting here. What he's describing here is a person who is a speck hunter. That is, they are looking. A speck is very small, but you're searching for something wrong that you can condemn. That is being condemned. Hypercritical judgment. A fourth thing that is being condemned is hypocritical judgment. Matthew 7 and verse 4 says, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, there is a plank, a log in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This was very typical of the Pharisees. Matthew 23 and verse 4, Jesus said they would bind heavy burdens on other people, but he said they wouldn't lift a finger to move them themselves. Now, don't get this wrong. This is not to say that you have to be perfect before you can ever point out sin in another person, because that's not right. None of us are perfect. But the Bible does teach, before I am pointing out something that's wrong in another, I should be sure that I'm not guilty of the same thing myself. That only makes sense. Could you imagine a preacher who is a drunkard, and then he gets in the pulpit and he preaches against the evils of alcohol? All right, let me summarize this one. J.W. McGarvey said, all judging from surmise, from insufficient premises, or from ill will are condemned by the Lord. Brother Guy in Woods wrote that the judging that is condemned is the judging that imputes unworthy motives to others and puts in the worst possible light or interpretation the actions of other people. Forbidden here are judgments without sufficient evidence. Something I thought we could throw in when you talk about bad judging, what about racial prejudice? You think racial prejudice would be in the category of bad judging? Racial prejudice, according to Webster's Dictionary, is defined as preconceived judgment or opinion without sufficient knowledge. What does that mean? I condemn somebody based on their race. I don't have knowledge about that person. I just have a preconceived idea. That is, it is harsh, it is hasty, it is hypercritical, it might even be hypocritical, but it is a bad judgment without evidence. All right, how do we overcome bad judgment? Number one, we need to do it by practicing love in our lives. Now, why do I say that? Because 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7 says, love believes the best. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that love is a fool and it takes whatever lie people throw at it. What it means is love looks for the best. Love digs for the best. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. Number two, to overcome bad or wrong judging, we need to practice the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Substitute the word think for the word judge in this verse, and you'll get the point. Whatsoever you would that men should think about you and make judgments about you, do you also unto them. Number three, if you want to overcome bad judging, put yourself in their shoes. You know, there is in fact, Brother Wendell Winkler said this years ago. He said, the old Indian prayed, Great Spirit, help me to never judge another Indian brother until I have walked 2 weeks in his moccasins. And we've got the old saying, put yourself in their shoes before you make a judgment. Number four, remember that judgments are often wrong. I bet every person in this auditorium can think of an occasion when you made a judgment about someone and it was absolutely wrong. All right, that's point number one, bad judging. Point number two is good judging. You see, the Bible doesn't condemn all types of judging as is commonly thought. There are some types of judging that we not only are expected to commit, but we are guilty with God if we don't engage in. For example, number one, the Bible says that we are to make judgments toward unfaithful Christians. John 7 and verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And so sometimes we have to make judgments toward unfaithful Christians. Now, what are we talking about there? If a brother is unfaithful, the elders of the church get to the point that they've got to go to him and they've got to say, brother, you're in sin. If he won't repent, it may get to the point that they have to mark him and identify him and withdraw fellowship from him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 13, you read about a man who had married his father's wife. I don't think it means his mother. I think it probably means his stepmother. But he had married his stepmother. He's a member of the church. And Paul said, this type of fornication is not even known amongst the Gentiles. He said the church is to judge him and they're to withdraw fellowship from him. In 2 Thessalonians 3 through 6, you see the same thing taught there. Whenever a congregation does this, they have to exercise judgment. Why? Because the Lord says, know ye not that a little leaven leavens a whole lump. That is, if you don't identify sin and call it sin in the church, it will spread. Number two, we have to practice judgment when it comes toward a brother who is in sin. Now, you may be thinking, well, Don, that sounds just like the other one. I mean something a little different here. This is what I'm talking about. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, brethren, if any is overtaken in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What that means is this. I see a brother in Christ, and he's engaged in a sin. I've got to identify that. I've got to make a judgment about that. And I go to him, and I say, brother, can I talk to you? You're doing some wrong things, and you need to make a change. Let me help you. He said, be gentle about it, but I've got to recognize the sin. I've got to call it sin, and I've got to help him get out of sin. In fact, if I don't do that, I'm neglecting my brother. James chapter 5 and verse 19 says, brethren, if any one of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know who turns a sinner from the error of his ways. He will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. How am I going to do that if I don't make a judgment that he's in sin? And so if a brother has quit coming to services for 6 months, or if a brother has shacked up with somebody to whom he's not married, I can't just sit back and say, well, I can't judge him. I just can't do that. That'd be wrong. You see, I would totally be misunderstanding what the Bible says about this. Number three, we have to make a judgment toward false teachers. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The Lord says, test what they're saying, and based on the evidence, you need to identify them as false teachers. Now, in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, I want you to notice, somebody says, well, Don, you said that in this very chapter you've got bad judging and good judging. Where do you see the good judging in this chapter? Look at Matthew 7, beginning in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. Brethren, in Matthew chapter 7, the very chapter that people go to say that you can't judge, in Matthew 7 and verse 15, he says, you've got to make a judgment. You've got to listen to people and watch people, and you've got to judge whether they're teaching the truth or whether they're teaching error. Now, somebody says, I don't want to use the term judge. We'll call them fruit inspectors if you want to. But he says, by their fruit ye shall know them. Here's the fourth one, good judging. And by this, I just mean calling sin, sin. Brethren, when Christians say that homosexuality is a sinful lifestyle and that it will bring the wrath of God, is that a judgment? Of course it's a judgment, but it is not the type of judgment that is condemned in Matthew chapter 7. Instead, it is the type of judgment that is commanded by God. When we say that adultery is wrong, when we say that fornication is wrong, or drunkenness, or being a thief, or go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and following, and go through that whole list of sins. If we say those things are wrong, that's not condemned, it's commanded. That is good judging. So there's bad judging, there's good judging, and then finally in this chapter, we have God's judging. Where do you find this? Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works? And I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. You know, this is a very frightening passage because it tells us on the day of judgment, there are going to be religious people who are going to be lost. There are going to be people who called on the name of the Lord, people who claimed to be Christians, people who were teaching others in the name of Jesus, and yet he says they're going to be lost because they did not obey the Lord. This is going to be God's judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Acts 17 and verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he's done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a judging that we had better stay away from. There is a judging that we had better engage in. And the reason is we are all going to be judged one day according to our actions. I appreciate your good and kind attention today. It could be that we have someone here this morning who needs to obey the gospel. If you're here and you are not a New Testament Christian, you need to know, to become one, you need to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you want to do that this morning, we are ready to assist you. Maybe you are here and you are a child of God who's been unfaithful, maybe in your attendance. Maybe this morning you want to come forward and ask for the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, and we would count it an honor to do that. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.